Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan.
This is Wretched Radio, a day late. Nevertheless, happy birthday goes out to Ruben Canucks. What's a Ruben Canucks? He is a very healthy 8 pound. What would a Ruben Canucks be? It would be a sourdough bread, because I think that's Scottish, isn't it? Or am I hallucinating?
Sure.
It would be sourdough bread. And then, but here's the catch, though. If you have that type of Canucks, you have to eat it in a parking lot, because that's where John Knox is buried, the great reformer. No wonder why Scotland is so post-Christian these days. They actually paved a parking lot. Wasn't that a song from Joni Mitchell?
See, though, United
Kingdom
does that.
Is that what she
was
singing about?
Mm. Didn't they bury King Richard in a parking lot, too? Richard III?
I don't get involved in politics, Tony. Do, because you're Lutheran. Ruben Canucks, born at 8:57 a.m. Sorry, it's a day late. This was yesterday. 8 pounds, 3 ounces, 20 inches long. That's a healthy baby right there. Mommy is doing well. Baby is healthy. No issue. Praising God for his kindness and goodness to keep both mother and baby safe through all. An answer to prayers. What's the last name? Well, this is Samuel. Samuel is a guy who is, I don't think that he's ever been on camera here at Wretched. He basically takes care of everything internet, everything computer, everything technology, and a whole lot more. And they just had, I believe this is baby number 4. Congratulations. Everybody is healthy. And what else matters? Boy, girl, who cares? If it's healthy, it is an image bearer of God. And so we welcome the little Presbyterian, although Samuel isn't Presbyterian. Have to talk to him about
What's
that.
What's wrong with him?
With John Knox? Nothing, Joey. You love John Knox, right?
Yes.
So congratulations. Now, let's get the Lutheran happy, shall we? It is time for church news here. I think this is a Lutheran hymn, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that, but I think it is. Isn't it? Is that Lutheran? This is a Lutheran hymnal, I'm sure. I don't think it's exclusively Lutheran, though. Let's get to church news, shall we? Well, to varying degrees, depending on how you define the word church. Mormon Church, which isn't really a church at all, but that's their legal name, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Probably this article won't affect you, but it might explain the mystery that you've seen at the local Mormon temple near you. They close the doors. There are no windows. You don't get to go in unless you're a baptized member of the Mormon Church. But on occasion, if they do a renovation, they'll actually open up the doors and let people in. You know, that's typically the sign of a cult, secrecy. After a 14-month closure to complete renovations, the 55-year-old temple in Oakland is attracting huge crowds before it's rededicated and then locked up again. Elder J. Pimentel, a church leader in Mike Fabares, John Fabares' dad, Compass Bible Church, some Mormons were brought to his church, actually sat through the church service. Pastor Fabares met with him after the church service, was introduced, and he said, "Nice to meet you. What's your name?" And the 20-year-old kid said, "I'm Elder Smith," which actually wouldn't be improbable. "I'm Elder Smith." "But what's your first name?" "I'm Elder Smith." Now, I'm paraphrasing, a little fuzzy on these details, but Mike said something like, "Are you actually going to stand in my church and not tell me your first name?"
It's James, sir."
Elder J. Pimentel, a church leader in the San Francisco, Oakland Bay area, quote, "We don't baptize dead bodies inside. We don't have secret rites." "Oh, yes, you do. We want to demystify some of the fanciful rumors that get circulated." "Really? Then why do you lock your doors and not let people in to witness your rites and ceremonies?" Are you kidding me? This is that effort that has been going on quite aggressively by the Mormon Church to try to make itself a part of the Orthodox Church community, and it is not. Its own founder said, "Everybody else is wrong but the Mormon Church." Now, in an effort to expand, they say things like this. No, they don't baptize dead bodies, but you can baptize a live body for somebody who's dead. That's a little misleading. "We don't have secret rites." "Really? You have to sneak in a camera to see the rites that go on. And let me just tell you, they're creepy. I'm sorry. They're creepy. Place has no windows. The goal of the remodel, says Elder Pimentel, is to represent a heaven on earth for us where we can meet God halfway. "I like to come here because I feel like I'm closer to heaven." That didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, do not be deceived by somebody who might try to tell you otherwise. They are not Orthodox. They reject every other denomination. They just tell you lately they don't. But if you press them and you really drill down, they have to cough it up. Don't know if you saw this story. Baylor University. You might remember there was a Christian university, Baptist, if I'm not mistaken. For the university graduation ceremony, the minister from Broadway Baptist Church in Fort Worth got up and prayed this: "God, give the graduates the moral imagination to reject the old keys we're trying to give them to a planet that we are poisoning by running it on fossil fuels and misplaced priorities." Okay.
That's a prayer.
Liberal prayer is what that is. Received an email sent to id@wretched.org. What does the Christian do about global warming and these issues? We need to have a balanced theological understanding how we approach these issues. Then we can take a look at things like science. We need to understand the planet was given to us. Human beings, we're the cream of the crop on the planet. It was given to us to serve us for our enjoyment. Having said that, we are supposed to steward it well because it is God's gift to us. Having said that, if the planet, in the process of serving people as we steward it as best we can, takes some knocks, so be it. If there need to be holes dug in the ground, so be it, if it's for our human betterment. If there needs to be a pipeline put up, so be it. Now, we don't trash the place nilly-willy. We want to be good stewards, but we recognize the priority and that ultimately we need to hold this in balance, too. We are not going to be the ones to destroy the planet. That's God's prerogative and privilege. He's going to be the one who burns it up with fire on the last day. We're not going to put an end to the planet through global warming. Now, what do we do with it? What if somehow... there was indeed a scientific consensus, a genuine, where we went, you know, I'm looking at this data here, and it sure does seem like they've got a point here. Should Christians be opposed to trying to do everything that we can to make it better? It depends on what you mean by everything. If human beings suffer in the which suffers? Human beings or the planet? Answer: the planet. Do we do that like, whatever, like we're staying in a hotel with the towels and the linens? I'll just use this bath towel to dab my chin. throw it on the floor. No, we don't treat it that way. But we do treat it in such a way that if it does indeed get harmed in the process, so be it. It's here for us. Do you feel the tension and the balance? Back to Baylor. Needs to be theological. And I would say this. Issues like what it caught. So let's just say that there's some scientific consensus that there's global warming. Would we start bringing up things like government regulations and the heavy hand of government? We could, but I think we bring our theology to it before we bring our politics into it, wouldn't we? God give them the moral imagination to not run on fossil fuels and misplaced priorities, said the Baptist pastor at Baylor University graduation. A planet with, sit down for this one, a planet with too many straight white men like me behind the steering wheel while others have been expected to sit quietly in the back of the bus.
There we are.
What? 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 This is the battle cry of 21st century social justice movement. This is critical race theory. This is intersectionality. And clearly, it appears to be creeping into Baylor University. Oh, good. This is Wretched Radio.
Alicia's a full-time nurse. On the weekend, she was running a pregnancy clinic in the highest abortion neighborhood in the United States, Queens, New York. More babies killed than there are born in this place. And she was raising the money on her own, and it's only open one day a week.
We could change that. There could be a pro-life center open 7 days a week, providing free ultrasounds for women by supporting preborn.org/wretched.
Preborn is very intentional and deliberate in providing free, loving, gospel-centered alternatives and ultrasounds to these young women in New York City. We're on it, man. It's not easy, and it's probably going to get a lot harder, I think.
Please join preborn.org/wretched in their effort to save babies and to save mommies through the gospel and stop this cycle. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org/wretched? preborn.org/wretched.
So, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
Oh, I don't know. What?
A fsh. Get it? A fsh. Because there are no eyes?
Oh.
Our newest evangelistic booklet is titled, Are You a Rotten Fish? While there aren't any amazing jokes like that in it, it does provide a thorough presentation on true and false conversions. Jesus preached on the subject of true and false conversions with the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish, and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct gospel response of repentance and faith versus incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your computer or your phone and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies. That's fish with an I. So who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Order your copies at wretched.org/fish today. wretched.org/fish.
Story after story after story of those people who have been saved and trained and given a Bible from Bible League International.
By 12 years of age, this young boy, Ahmed, had been recruited to be a suicide bomber. He came to place his faith in Jesus Christ. He has a burden to take the gospel to young men in his age group who are sold out to violent Islam. Toddy's led about 50 young men to Christ.
That's the voice of Michael Woolworth from Bible League International, sat in studio with me sharing story after story after story of lives affected because they heard the gospel and they received the word of God because of Bible League International and your support. $5 a Bible to Ahmed. How many could you send? Please consider supporting Bible League International at wretched.org/Bible. wretched.org/Bible.
Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. Oh, boy. This is Wretched Radio. Joey, this one is for you. The Central Carolina Presbytery. That would be from Presbyterian. A study committee report on the 2018 Revoice Conference. This is important to keep up with as much as you can stand. This is a movement inside of the Presbyterian Church America, not USA, America. A Presbyterian church hosted the Revoice Conference. It caused quite a stir. This is what it basically boils down to. This group of folks who are leading the Revoice Conference, there is a good aspect of it where they would say, do not act on your inclinations. You can't do that, but you can have your inclinations. You're fine with your inclinations. It's okay to be a gay Christian. Just don't act on them. And so they say basically that the desires or the inclinations themselves are not sinful, just the activity. Do you see the problem with that? Starting with Jesus saying, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Sinful desires are just that, sinful. And the Revoice, they're pushing to make them just fine. No, they're pushing to make it celebrated. So here are the highlights from the Central Carolina Presbytery Study Committee. As members of the body of Christ, we don't get to choose the controversies of our age. Ain't that the truth? We appreciate Revoice's commitment to biblical marriage. So they're trying to be polite. Here's the good things. We commend them for their desire to help sexual strugglers stay rooted in Christ and orthodoxy. At the same time, we're concerned that some of the principal voices in Revoice have not been careful enough with their labels, like gay Christian, their theology, like having those inclinations is just fine, and their relational advice. They suggest, for instance, how do you fill up that void? Well, you have other really close friends that are also gay, and they make all kinds of recommendations. There's some of them that are so far out there. I think Josh Bice, maybe it was Josh, maybe it was Tom Buck, assembled these. Right, like go to a gay nightclub. No, don't go home with anybody, but go, you know, so you can feel the camaraderie with people who are gay like you. Just don't act on it. Do you see what the Revoice appears to be up to? From the Presbyterian Carolina, North Carolina, I think. Central Carolina Presbytery. Maybe it's both of them, North and South. At the same time, we're concerned about their not being careful with labels, their theology, their relational advice. Consequently, at present, we do not feel Revoice is a safe guide in helping Christians navigate questions of gender and sexuality. We hope that within the PCA, more attention will be given to the theology expressed in our standards and to the doctrinal precision exemplified in the best of our tradition. We worry that some have traded a reformed doctrine, that'd be Presbyterian, of sin for a therapeutic understanding of brokenness, or for a Roman Catholic understanding of concupiscence. Concupiscence. What is that about? Well, typically it's strong sexual desire, but the Roman Catholic Church would define it, quote, desire of the lower appetite, but not sinful per se. It's the tinder for sin, but it's not sin itself. Yes, I had to look that up. So in other words, the Revoice are saying the same thing. Your sexual bent, which is crooked, is Roman Catholic. Not sinful in and of itself. It can lead to sin, but it isn't sinful itself. I wonder if that would apply to other sins. You know, I was born a rapist, and I'm just not going to act on it, but wow, do I feel like doing that all the time. You'd go, well, you need to stop feeling like that. But I was born a murderer, you see, and I don't commit it, but wow, I think about doing it all the time. I just don't act on it. You know, I don't own slaves myself, but I sure would like to. You'd go, stop it with that! Exactly. And the same thing is true with sexual desire. From the summary, with a diminished view of sin comes a diminished role for repentance, a diminished understanding of the power of the gospel. No, it might not ultimately ever change those desires totally, but the power of the gospel is strong enough to overcome those desires, to mortify those sinful lusts. Why do we think that this would be a sin that the gospel can't conquer? Since when? And ultimately, a diminished experience of worship itself, in a day where emoting comes easier than thinking, we must renew our conviction that truth does not get in the way of helping people. Truth is necessary if we are going to be truly helpful. And now a good word. We must never forget that we're dealing with real people. These are human beings with hurts and fears and joys and hopes. While we disagree with what was said and assumed at the Revoice Conference, insofar as the movement acts as a reminder for all of us to be welcoming, sympathetic, and hospitable. Well said. And by the way, Joey, do you hear the banging in the background?
Just a little. A
little bit. You can hear some. They're doing construction. But does that stop what we do here at Wretched Friel? We wish sometimes that it would. Vision Church of Atlanta. That's right. Vision Church. It's got a vision. And the vision is really wonky. Vision Church of Atlanta adds a psychic medium to ministerial staff. I don't think so. This person isn't all that far away from what goes on in a lot of churches. God told me to tell you that. LaCara Foster, who holds a doctorate of ministry from the online school called Interdenominational Theological Center. I wonder what that cost. You think it was six figures? I'll bet you could get it for under $100 if you sent him an email. Is now a licensed minister at the Vision Church Atlanta. She's also the creator and star of the YouTube series The Gift, which she argues God told her to do, which is weird because God told me to tell her he didn't. Can you hear the construction going on a little bit? It's getting closer like Jaws. Earlier it was way back. They're doing some stuff in the studio. Tony's apologies for that. She's the creator of this. It follows her life as a medium, minister, and spiritual teacher. When I asked God, why this gift? Why not singing? God said, because you're tone deaf. And I promised my people eternal life. How will my people know that I've kept promise if I don't demonstrate your gift? Pick me. How's about the Bible? How's about that? We don't need LaCara Foster to tell us God loves us. We've already been told, and it's been demonstrated on a cross. Ay, ay, ay. So this isn't all that psychic, frankly. This is going on all over the place. She argues that psychic mediumship should be included among the spiritual gifts of the modern church because James 1:17 teaches that every good and perfect gift is from above.
Or there's some assumptions built into that statement.
Woo! Yeah, and how's about it's entirely lacking, I don't know, context, context, context. Gentlemen, if you'd be so kind, I'm thinking about getting a pair of these, but I don't know if I should. So I will hold these up. This is something that you can now buy at, I believe, Bethel Church is selling these. Can you describe what those are, Tony or Joey?
Are those floral skinny jeans or yoga pants?
You are so not Holy Spirit led.
Oh.
These are prophetic art leggings. Dancing huh? Waters prophetic art leggings. For just $44.95, you can order these at Bethel Church. Want to hear all about them? No, Todd, we don't. Am I going to tell you anyway? Yes. Yes, I am. These leggings are heaven's reflection mirrored in the beauty of dancing colors. Where light and shadows play upon the colors of the sky and water, let this image take you into another place where the eternal touches earth. Did you know that lycra pants could do all of that? I don't even know what any of that means, but apparently somebody says, means a lot to me. I'll pay $44.95 for those. You know, gentlemen, I don't know if you know this, but my legs are so skinny.
How skinny are they?
I wear these leggings. They look like bell bottoms. Skinny. More nonsense. coming out of Bethel Church. And speaking of nonsense, let's go to England. Did they ever Brexit? Did that ever get cleaned up? And
no,
Theresa May, she's out the door. You need to slow down with your politics there in Great Britain. And the Anglican Communion needs to become, I don't know, more Anglican again. A woman, one of the Anglican priests in Great Britain, showing how inclusive she can be and how biblically illiterate she actually is. She invited the local mosque to come and use their church to celebrate Ramadan. Now, here's my favorite part of the whole story. The men get to set up for Ramadan prayers in the sanctuary. The women, do they get to worship with the fellas? Of course not, silly rabbit. It's Islam. They had to do their stuff down the hall in separate rooms. Why? Because women can't worship with men in the religion of peace. Listen very carefully. Listen. That's right. You hear nothing from the feminists complaining about that inequality. Why? Because darkness doesn't fight against darkness. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is going to sound like a plug. Well, it is, but it's going to not sound like one, hopefully. This is Wretched Radio. Headline from Christian Post. Here's how to bring millennials and Gen Z back to church. Produce more media content to reach them. That's right. Go where they are, which is online and social media. Amen to that, which is why we're actually doing this very thing. We're creating a brand new TV series called Road Trip to Truth. Why? Because they do live on social media, and we're producing this show. It's going to air on cable TV. It'll be all over the internet to reach Gen Z, to reach millennials. If you want your content to be taken seriously by Gen Z, you better bring your A game. That is exactly true, too. If you're going to try to put up social media to reach millennials, it needs to be artistic. Gen Zers, they will not put up with lame stuff. And furthermore, stylistically different. When I'm at the gym, you could probably notice I go regularly. I'm listening to the earbud thing. And it's Spotify. So you pick the music. And then they play it, and if you don't have a membership to it, which I refuse to do on moral grounds, they'll interrupt it with a commercial. Now, this is Spotify. This is really aimed not at my generation. It's aimed at millennials. It's aimed at Gen Zers. The announcers that do the commercials, they don't sound like the announcers of our day. Coming up next on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. It's not that it doesn't sound announcery. The voices of announcers are quite unextraordinary, and they don't seem to care if they don't know their range, and so they will be flat frequently on both ends. It's just and it's not because they couldn't afford somebody good. That's the style. And if you don't sound like it, and if the music isn't something that they dig, daddy-o, and if it's not visually stimulating, They're not interested in it. So we're working very hard to check all of those boxes with a brand new show called Road Trip to Truth, which you could support at wretched.org/donate. But please remember, this is not a plug. You need, writes the Christian Post, to make it not only informative and thought-provoking, but entertaining as well. They're smart, and they can spot poor quality and badly produced cheap content. Well, why? Because they're experts at it. They look at it all the time. Once again, why is this my pet peeve? I guess we've all got them. I'm walking through the restaurant. Honestly, the kids sitting at the table, they aren't listening to a word the adults are saying. All of them just on their phones. They don't even have the opportunity to get bored. It is good for a kid to get bored. It's good for a kid to have to sit and listen to adult conversation. It pulls them up. Instead, they get on their phones and they just sit there and they go off into zombie land. No relation, no multi-generational activity going on. All individualized, all distracted, all not real. What will be the implications in years to come? I think we're already seeing them. The suicide, depression, anxiety. We are born to be in relationships, not with pixels, but with people. Hold on. I think I might have to tweet that. People, not pixels. Hey, I'm just trying to provide really good quality content for the sake of reaching the lost here.
I'm so old. I remember when radio shows didn't tweet in the middle of themselves.
You know, it's not a sin for people to do this, but I've been told that if I really want to grow my Twitter, which I have to confess to you has never been a burning desire for me, it needs to be less theological and more personal. It needs to be more about me. That ain't going to happen. Look, if you want to do that, you go ahead, sir, madam. It just ain't my cup of tea. I cannot do that. But there's a certain way to grow things. There's a certain way to expand your territory, and it's not by praying an Old Testament prayer that really has nothing to do with your zip code or your territory expansion. Don't exactly feel like doing it with the Twitter, but we will do it with social media content to reach millions. And this new TV show, it will reach millions. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. This is a gift, and we got to use it while we can, because there are some hints, aren't there, Mark Zuckerberg, that we might not be allowed to post any old thing that we want to sometime soon. Little bits of that happening already. Let's utilize it. If you'd like to support us in our efforts to reach them with our new show, Road Trip to Truth, which is going to rock the Casbah, wretched.org/donate. I don't think that I've told you. It's Dr. Nathan Booznitz from Master Seminary. He's going to be coming in to film stuff with us. Can't wait. Can't wait. Mike Riccardi. We just listened to it. Mrs. Friel and I went on a little trip to Greenville. Oh, was there a great Italian restaurant there? The bread. Just bread. Just give me bread. I'll try to defy the Bible and try to live on it alone. Because, wow, I'd like to just give it a go, if you don't mind me saying so. The bread is so good. And we were in Greenville. We drove there, and we listened to Mike Riccardi. He absolutely knocked it out of the park. His preaching is stellar. He's going to be joining us for Road Trip to Truth. Also, Jason Lyle, Dr. Jason Lyle. All of these guys are doctors, by the way. Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Jonathan Sarfati. He's actually in Atlanta. He's going to be joining us. Shylin is going to be joining us. Can't wait to spend time with all of these guys. It's just going to be the gas. John Fabares, he's going to be hosting it. I'm forgetting somebody. Tom Hammond. So forgettable, the fellow. He's the fellow who wrote What Time Is Purple. It's going to be just absolutely a gas. Did I mention you can support that effort at wretched.org/donate? Speaking of Christians maybe not having the opportunity to, you know, utilize social media, this is from UK Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, commissioned an independent review into the global persecution of Christians. Wow. According to the BBC report, 1 in 3 people around the world suffer from religious persecutions. Who's the most persecuted religious group? That's right, Christian. Your brothers and sisters are. In some regions, the level and nature of persecution is arguably coming close to meeting the international definition of genocide. Christians. Genocide. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters. I'll tell you that much. And sending them Bibles too. Bible League is working like crazy to get Bibles to the persecuted church. There's a great ministry too. Bible League International. It's $5 a Bible. They'd love it if you could send 7 per month. That would be cool. Whatever you can, They would be grateful. They're bringing Bibles to the persecuted church. Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible. British Foreign Secretary. Remember, this is not a plug. British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt is also quoted on why Western governments have been asleep concerning the growing epidemic. Well, well, this should be fascinating. And a reminder, worldviews have consequences. Quote, I think there is a misplaced worry that it is somehow colonialist. What? Colonialist? To talk about Christianity that was associated with colonial powers rather than the countries that we marched into as colonialists. This is, or colonializers. What? You're talking about hundreds of years ago. Uh-huh, but it's very current now. What is this a part of? Well, it's a part of postmodernism. It's a part of critical race theory. It is a part of intersectionality. It is a part of black liberation theology. It is a part of white European males are colonializers. All they did was impose their values on people, take over lands, suppress people of color and a different gender, women, for their advancement. And it was Christian white European males. Therefore, if you try to defend Christians, you are defending the oppressors. Worldviews have consequences, don't you know? The BBC report highlights political correctness. You could replace political correctness, frankly, with postmodernism these days, as being especially responsible for the West's indifference. It's just Christians being set on fire. Do you remember the image of the orange jumpsuits on the beach? That was not enough to stir the world. Wasn't enough. It's Christians. The darkness doesn't fight against darkness. And the darkness doesn't care when light is being brutalized and massacred. They don't care. This is always. Whatever this news story is, and you go, what? Why wouldn't they speak out against the? Why aren't they? Why are they partnering with that group? It's everything against God. The overwhelming majority of Christian persecution occurs in Muslim majority nations. 38 of the 50 nations making the persecution list for Ought-19, Muslims. The most virulent in the birthplace of Christianity, the Middle East and North Africa, in countries like Algeria, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Saudi Arabia, the situation of Christians and other minorities has reached an alarming stage. Please pray for your Christian brothers and sisters. This is Wretched Radio. Don't take my word for why you should support the Masters Academy International. Take John MacArthur's.
We go into countries all over the world to train pastors, to train them in godliness, to train them in expositing the scripture, in teaching sound theology. Some of our training centers are 30 years in, and they're now turned over completely to the indigenous leadership of those countries, and we can pull out and go to another country. They're in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Latin America, Asia. Strong pastors make strong churches. Strong churches make strong Christians, and that makes a high impact of Christianity in the world.
That is why I would like to invite you to consider supporting the Masters Academy International, little mini seminaries. Todd, that was redundant. All over the world. Please strengthen the church by supporting the Masters Academy International. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you for being here today. Always glad when you choose to listen to Wretched Radio. And thank you to our gospel partners, the folks who make all of this, Wretched Radio, Wretched TV, our website and internet presence, all of the resources, they make all of that possible. Our gospel partners' consistent support allows us to preach the gospel, equip others to preach and defend the gospel, and strengthen the local church, reaching millions of people around the world. Thank you very much. If you are not a gospel partner, would you consider it? No, we don't need more gospel partners so we can buy another jet plane, because we don't have one jet plane. We are actually kind of, I want to say thrifty, but basically we're cheap. We do things as inexpensively as possible, keeping our overhead as low as we can. That way, 83 cents of every dollar goes towards ministry work. So if you'd like to join us, go to wretched.org/donate and become a gospel partner today. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
So, You don't think that your sponsorship of a Tomorrow Club is worth it, huh?
One of the kids that came, you know, our parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel and she started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and the church started trying to help them. And believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking and the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
These stories are happening all over Eastern Europe. Poor villages, the Tomorrow Clubs invade. They meet with the kids every week. They disciple them. They preach the gospel to them. They have them memorize Bible verses. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. And the local church gets strengthened. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 little disciples. You can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's be very, very careful. This is Wretched Radio. I think I'll do the entire program. Is that a libretto? That's not a a vibrato is a little, you could throw a cat through it. Is it libretto, which is a...
No. That's tremolo. Libretto is the text of an opera.
Ah.
Vibrato is a wavering of pitch, and tremolo is a wavering in volume.
Uh-huh. So, Joey, just to make sure that I wasn't actually wrong with what I just said, question. Do people ever use a vibrato or a tremolo in a librato?
Yes, libretto.
Then I wasn't wrong. So thank you very much. This is a Wretched Radio. Let's be very, very careful with this because we do not want to follow the world's advice about forgiveness. What do secularists say? Forgiveness, it's the best gift you can give to yourself. Okay, that is not the right motivation for forgiveness, but that is also true. That is not why Christians forgive one another. Jesus was clear on this. We forgive because we've been forgiven so much. How can we not forgive others little tiny slights when we have slighted God so much? Now, I was talking about this with somebody the other day, and we were talking about the issue, for instance, how would I feel if my wife, fill in the blank, pick something, she didn't, I know, she, when I got home, didn't tell me what a wonderful husband I am for being a spiritual leader and providing for the family. She didn't do it. In fact, she's never done it. In fact, imagine, I always say wonderful things about her. She never says anything nice about me. How are you going to deal with that? You're going to forgive that? Absolutely. How do you do that? I don't forgive because it makes me feel better or I get a benefit from it. I forgive because it ain't nothing to forgive the slights that I have received, which are puny compared to the slights that I have given to my God. How many times today have you slighted the Lord? I'll just do the math for myself. I don't thank, I don't praise, I am not mindful of him, I am not consuming his word like I should. I'm not even like Daniel. I don't even pray three times a day. Okay, I probably do, but not like in that same type of deal that he... Okay, so I pretty much want to take that back. The point is, I don't treat God the way that I'm supposed to. Not even close. So now my wife doesn't treat me the way that she, quote, is supposed to, and I'm going to be mad for one slight when I've slighted my Lord 10,000 times today? That's why I forgive. He should just grind me to powder, and he does not do it, and he is patient with me, and he forgives, and he forgives, and he's forgiving me even now. I'm perpetually forgiven in Christ. I need forgiveness all the time. And now I'm going to get annoyed at my kid who didn't chew with her mouth closed at the dinner table? Are you kidding me? All right, let's use something bigger. Somebody does something bad to you. I'm not trying to diminish that. But what we do, the Lord, by comparison, it is small. And therefore, I am motivated to forgive. I can forgive. That's my motivation. Benefit? It is good for me. From Rick Thomas, when I won't forgive someone. For to this, you have been called because Christ suffered for you, leaving for you an example, following in his steps. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. We are to have the same attitude. We don't retaliate. We don't keep a list. We do not plan our strategy for retaliation. We don't do it because Jesus didn't do it. There are a few things. This is Rick Thomas, by the way, rickthomas.net. When I won't forgive someone, there are a few things more complicated than forgiving someone who has hurt you, indeed. And so we need to work through this very, very carefully. He writes, some of the saddest people you will ever meet are those who refuse to forgive those who have sinned against them. It's true, because unforgiveness itself is a sin. And what happens when you sin more and more and you stay in a state of sin? Your bones ache. Everything goes kafritz. And again, that's not our motivation to do it, but it is a consequence. If we don't forgive the way that we're supposed to with the correct motivation because we've been commanded to, we just spiral down. Nearly always, any discussion about forgiveness with them is met with deep emotional angst and sometimes hostility. What many of them need is not a rebuke, but a gentle, courageous, and biblical caregiver. Look, they've been hurt. This is the challenge of being a biblical counselor. Somebody has been wounded, painfully wounded, and they won't forgive. So now you've got to hurt, you've got to put a bandage and salve on that, but then you've got sin, and that's got to be addressed. Do you see the challenge? They need gentle, courageous, biblical caregivers with as much patience and compassion as they can muster. And only then can that person heal from the pain. You will have to be able to steward two contiguous realities, the hurt and the need to forgive the person who hurt them. And if you have been hurt, you do need healing. There is balm for you, but you also need to work toward forgiveness. Does that need to happen this second? I don't think so. I don't think that's entirely human. I think our trajectory and our mindset should always be, oh, I'm going to work toward that, but maybe it's just time right now to feel hurt or wounded. And I think that's okay. From Rick Thomas, though they must not hold on to unforgiveness forever, it may take time to work through the complexity of the soul that is required to truly let it go. Even if they are only releasing the offender from the heart attitudinally because the offender has never come forward to transact relational forgiveness. They didn't say they're sorry. And I think we can give time to people who have been wounded and hurt. Can't we? No matter the pain, no matter the regret, no matter the disappointment, we are called to forgive one another. Unforgiveness, unwillingness to forgive, is the perpetrator of the sin will only perpetuate the victim's suffering. It's just going to make it worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, again, you shouldn't forgive because, ooh, danger in not forgiving. But that is something we need to be mindful of. Psalm 32, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. When we don't forget, you feel it because God isn't for you in that regard. God wants you to forgive. Unforgiveness is just one sin, but like cancer, it never abides alone. If you leave it alone, other sins will take over, like gossip. The unforgiving person, quick to gossip, you'll be critical. You express more negativity than positiveness about life. The unforgiving person is joyless, experiences more anger and bitterness. So what's the plea here? Be motivated because you've been forgiven much, but please note the upside to all of this. maybe, just maybe, if you are struggling in any of the aforementioned areas, gossip, being critical, joyless, anger, bitterness, ask yourself, am I failing to forgive somebody or people? Living in the freedom of forgiving spirit is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. But if you don't, here are seven reasons why you might not let it go. If you've been unforgiving, see if this is an explanation for why you have not forgiven somebody. Are you ready? Punishment. Do you have any desire for someone to punish the offender? Fearfulness. Are you afraid that forgiving them will permit them to hurt you again? Unbelief. Do you believe that God will fully take care of what happened to you? Is it control? You stay in control of the situation by never letting it go. That happens a lot. Righteousness. Do you believe you are better than the offender who doesn't deserve forgiveness? Acceptance. Do you desire the sympathy that others can give you for what happened to you? That's a dangerous drug, isn't it? You keep getting attention because woe is you. Identity. Are you finding your identity in your suffering rather than in Christ? Question. Have you been failing to forgive somebody? Might I encourage you, please note, our primary motivation for doing so is by doing sin math. Yep, people hurt us. Yep, I have sinned against the Lord a bazillion times more. When I do that math, it becomes very easy to forgive. It can be a process. It can take time. But furthermore, when you realize justice is the Lord's, not only can you move toward forgiveness, experience forgiveness, you'll actually start to pray for the people who hurt you because you fear the retribution of the Lord on them. But might I also suggest you try to figure out what's motivating your lack of forgiveness and you realize the benefits that you are missing out on and that maybe there's a reason that you're experiencing a lot of negative emotions. Maybe it's because you've been lacking forgiveness. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.